We have reached now 22 million views. So thank you. Thank you for following us. 100 days ago, Iran was the power in the region that everybody was afraid. No other American president has done. He attacked and destroyed Iran's military capacity. If you're nice, we're going to release the sanctions. We're going to stop the sanctions. You're going to see money. And if you're not nice, we're going to bomb the shit out of you.
That just goes to show you, whether you're a U.S. citizen, a service member, anywhere in the world, the U.S. military, U.S. government, at least under this administration, will stop at nothing to make sure you are brought home safely.
As an American, you've won the lottery of life. Enjoy it.
We cut off the head of the snake.
Peace has to come in. Mm-hmm. And I think that the most consequential things that President Trump has done is the Abraham Accord.
Jennifer Newsom, the wife of Governor Gavin Newsom, who literally steals money from charities like sick children, fire victims. She steals the money. And then on top of that, her husband has the balls to claim it's all Trump trying to, you know, go after him.
Hello and welcome to this new episode of The Heavy on Proud American Studio. We have a lot to talk today. There's a few things happening in the world. So I'm here with my friends, Lee Scott. How are you, Lee?
Good. How are you doing, Philippe?
Good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
We don't have Dale today. We miss Dale. So Dale, we'll see you very soon. But we're very lucky because we have with us a man that I really respect and admire, the vice president of Proud American Studios, Mr. Trelinze.
I appreciate you having me on today, Philippe. It's an honor. Again, sorry we can't have Dell on the show, but hopefully I'll do just as good as he would do.
He has set up the bar very high.
All right, perfect.
Just so you know. So, Trey, I'd like you to say a few words to explain your background, but you are a former U.S. military.
Yes, sir.
And former U.S. SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, different. Like I said, former life, you know, retired several years ago. Yes.
Which is one of the best, if not the best, elite corps in the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
I wanted you to be here today because with the war in Iran and the incredible propaganda, the fake news, everybody as an opinion. I mean, what we're hearing since the beginning of that war, and, you know, tomorrow, because we're recording this on Thursday, so tomorrow they're supposed to sign the Memorandum of Understanding with Iran. But we're hearing so much bullshit. And I would like you to first tell us a little bit about you, and then tell us exactly how diminished are the Iranian military after 38 days only of bombing?
Absolutely. Again, appreciate you having me on, Philippe. So quick little background about me. I grew up in a small town, rural northeast Missouri, joined the Navy 9 days out of high school, spent a little over 18 years in the SEAL teams, 13 years in the Tier 1 Special Mission Unit of the Navy Development Group. Retired in October of 22, started a tactical training company, and also I'm a fully licensed peace officer in the state of Texas, and also have a license in Louisiana as a peace officer. So then joined the Proud American Studios team, so here we are. So getting on the topic you wanted me to discuss, Iran, like pay no attention to the fake news, folks, and the liberal left-leaning media. Iran is beyond 80%+. Their military has been degraded and absolutely destroyed. They did not just get punched in the mouth. They got their fucking teeth knocked down their throat. Make no mistake about it. My only reservation about, you know, with the memorandum of understanding being signed is that the Iranian, you know, regime is still standing, even though very weakened, but they are still standing. I was hoping we'd give them the knockout punch and have regime change over there, but time will tell. But I'm cautiously optimistic on the memorandum, and hopefully we can have, you know, lasting peace in the Middle East. And it's going to come down to President Trump's foreign policy, which he's already has demonstrated, having the peace through strength. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The Iranian regime knows if they, you know, fuck around again, they will find out one way or the other.
So their Navy is gone. Mm-hmm. Their Air Force is gone. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. and the Israeli force mm-hmm. have almost destroyed their missile capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your opinion, do you think we should have finished the job, or do you support the fact that we made an MOU?
I support the fact we make an MOU because I think Trump gave peace every chance he got, from the early onset of his, you know, second administration to what he's doing now, to the initial bombing campaign, degrading the Iranian military. But my personal feeling is, just because I don't trust those motherfuckers at all, like, we should have gone a little bit further down the rank structure, eliminating them off the battlefield before we had them, you know, even offered a memorandum of understanding and a peace agreement.
But the fact is that we took out their first ranking of official. The second one. So we're not dealing with the third.
Yeah. You know, you could probably even make the argument it might be fourth or fifth at this point in time, too, folks, you know, as far as being their leadership of the IRGC.
Actually, Dale had a good say last time. He said the caporals mm-hmm. are leading the country.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
Okay. So, in your opinion, we have achieved huge military victory.
Oh, from a military standpoint, absolutely. I think it's the most one sided military battle, conflict, whatever you want to call it, in modern day history. I mean, tell me another time where, since in modern day, at least since the beginning of the United States, there's ever been a victory against a very formidable, at least the most powerful military in the Middle East, you know, had such a lopsided, you know, we had such a lopsided victory over them, and they had such just an incredible, crushing defeat.
And I must say, that's what's incredible with the liberal fake news mm-hmm. media all over the world. Oh, Iran has won the war. This is the first time mm-hmm. ever where we have had suffered almost nothing,
mm-hmm.
except, of course, we suffered of 13, the life of 13 brave soldiers.
Yeah.
But compared to Iran,
yeah,
they have been basically sent back 2 decades yeah. to rebuild yeah. their military capacity. And what people are forgetting is that 100 days ago, mm-hmm. everybody thought that Iran was like that superpower
yeah. mm-hmm.
that we could not mess with, mm-hmm. right? What are they now? what is Iran now? Okay? And then the fake news media is coming and they say, oh, Iran won the war.
Yeah.
the military power mm-hmm. of the U.S. and with the help of the Israeli
mm-hmm.
has been so huge, so massive. The victory is so big mm-hmm. that I don't know how you can even lie at that level. It's unbelievable. How does it hurt you as a man who, because I know what you've accomplished mm-hmm. in your life, right? But as a man that has never hesitated to put your life on the line to save American life, when you hear those media, how do you feel?
I mean, it's disgusting overall, Philippe, but again, it's not surprising, you know, at this point in time. The liberal, lamestream media will stop at nothing to demonize this administration, no matter what they accomplish, no matter what objectives they achieve. It just goes to show you the double standard and the hypocrisy, because how many countries did Barack Hussein Obama bomb without congressional approval? I mean, how many, you know, different, you know, heads, you know, like senior, you know, militant leaders did he kill without any congressional approval?
Yeah.
He got the nickname the Drone Ranger, you know, as far as he even was bragging behind closed doors. We heard from multiple sources saying about, he's like, surprisingly, I'm actually really good at killing people, believe it or not. So you never hear that from the lamestream media. So.
No. Mainstream media, I know, Lee, that politics is one of your passions. So why don't you tell us how you feel about that misinformation to the American people?
Well, it's ridiculous.
And the double standard.
Well, there's no way, no matter what Trump did, no matter what the agreement says, no matter what we accomplish, they're never going to frame it properly. I mean, they're still framing the Epstein story wrong. You know, I mean, Trump is the guy who got the cops called on Epstein. He kicked him out of his club. And even yesterday on The View, those ladies told J.D. Vance, oh, well, Epstein was Trump's best friend in the 80s. Trump literally sent him to the police. He's the only rich guy to testify against him. But they don't say that. And so with this Iran deal, it's the exact same thing. No matter what we do, they keep talking about, oh, there's $300 billion that we're sending Iran. That's not part of the deal. Trump said multiple times it's not part of the deal, and they still, you know, harp on it as if it's true. So it's pointless. No matter what he does, no matter what he accomplishes, they will find a way to either lie or reframe it.
And I think that there is something else as well. When you see that when Franklin Roosevelt faced the Nazi, mm-hmm. World War II, the whole country was behind him, mm-hmm. right? Here, you have basically a massive portion of the media rooting for Iran. Mm-hmm. They were rooting for Iran.
Absolutely. Okay?
And now they're trying to paint that as a victory of Iran, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know what these people are trying to do. They're trying to destroy America. Mm-hmm. One of the things that when we created Proud American Studio, and by the way, we have reached now 22 million views. So thank you. Thank you for following us on Proud American Studio on X. The huge support that we're getting from our audience is tremendous. So thank you very much to our audience. But I think that that is comforting even more of what we're doing at Proud American Studio, which is to have guys like you, like Mike Kosioniak, which we will have later on in the show, and where the people that bring the news and make the podcast are people that have put their life on the line to defend this country, not some jackass podcaster like that. That we're not going to talk about Tucker Carlson today, okay? Or Candace Owens.
I say, Philippe, we don't have enough time to talk about
the jackass podcast. I'm not going to talk about that.
But you have to mention him at least once.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's like Iran. And her, now she went to St. Petersburg and she loves Russia. And by the way, I went to Russia. Okay? So I spent a year in Russia making a film, so I can talk a lot about Russia. But I think that it comforts even us more in bringing the news by men like you, mm-hmm. right? And that's very important. We had a terrific trip in Washington, D.C., with Dean Cain, who's our main podcaster mm-hmm. on the homeland. We had a series of fabulous interviews with top people of the Trump administration. I must say, I was like a little kid in a candy store. We met with Sebastian Gorka.
Brilliant man. The only we can describe is just a brilliant man.
Let me tell you something. I've met a lot of people and a lot of very powerful people. At the end of the interview, I went to him and I said, "Sir, you are absolutely amazing. It's an honor to shake your hand." And when you understand what he says in the interview, and people should watch the interview of Sebastian Gorka by Dean Cain. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous interview. He explained precisely what is the policy of the United States when it comes to counterterrorism mm-hmm. for the years to come. Dean interviewed the acting Attorney General, mm-hmm. Todd Blanche. Fabulous interview, incredible guy to meet. Mm-hmm. And when you are with those people, you realize that something is happening in this country, that Trump has a team. I'm a big fan of Rubio, mm-hmm. That has a team that really has the focus to protect the American mm-hmm. people. So we're happy that we're giving them a platform where they can come and express themselves. Mm-hmm. As opposed to that nutcase reporter. What's the name of that reporter that interviewed Trump and he left in the middle of it?
Oh, the Meet the Press Lady.
Meet the Press Lady. I mean, they don't want to know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to attack him. Whatever he does, it's that. You know, J.D. Vance on The View. Lee.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, not for him, for them, because they would just say stuff that wasn't true, and he'd say, "Oh, really? That happened? What do you mean?" Well, there's too many ways or too many examples. Well, just give me one.
Yeah, they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. It was a complete, absolute farce, and I don't know why he went on in the first place. I'm like, why?
I don't know.
Why waste your time?
I don't know. Anyway, so let's go back to the Iran. I'm going to tell you what I think, okay? Because everybody is having an opinion, and which I can understand, but everybody is talking, and emotions are getting very high. The Israeli are upset. A lot of people here are upset. Let's go back 100 days ago. 100 days ago, Iran was the power in the region that everybody was afraid. Now, their military capacity has been drastically reduced. Okay. We here, in our last episode, we say that we would like to see a regime change. Mm-hmm. The whole world would like a regime change in Iran. The Iranian people want a regime change. But it didn't happen yet, right? You have, what, 90 million people in Iran? We have not seen the rise because those guys are controlling the country. So we've said very in our last episode, if you recall, Lee, that Trump will make a deal because he cannot go into the midterm.
Yeah.
Okay. With the price of oil so high and stuff. But at the end of the day, we have to calm down. All we have here is a memorandum of understanding. And we're going to hear what President Trump said yesterday and today is at the G7 in France. But it's up to the Iranian. Now, do I personally trust the Iranian regime? Mm-hmm. Of course not. Okay.
I don't think Trump does either.
He doesn't. But that's what he said. Let's. Can we play the clip of President Trump today?
No, it's not final. It's a memorandum of understanding. And if I don't like it, we'll go back to shooting at them, dropping bombs on their head. If I don't like it, if they don't behave, we'll go right back to dropping bombs right smack in the middle of their head.
So, you know, you hear it from him himself, okay? It's a memorandum of understanding. So we have to be quiet. Let's not forget, okay? And you know that I'm extremely pro-Israeli. I have a lot of family in Israel. Actually, my son-in-law is in vacation here, and when he comes back, he's going back to the IDF. But I see a lot of people that are forgetting that President Trump is the guy that said yes, which no other American president has done. He attacked and destroyed Iran military capacity. So let's calm down. Okay, let's calm down. Let's not say that Trump has betrayed Israel. Mm-hmm. We have to let time pass. If the Iranian attack Israel, Israel is going to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. Trump needed break. Mm-hmm. He needed the oil price to go down. He needs to prepare the midterm, which I believe they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And focus on the American economy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the fact. We say that last time.
Yeah.
We say that last time. And the deal, I mean, I don't need to see the deal. I know what the deal is going to say. Mm-hmm. We agree to be nice. If you're nice, we're going to release the sanction. We're going to stop the sanction. You're going to see money. And if you're not nice, we're going to bomb the shit out of you. It's that simple. It's, you don't have to go into the detail of being a technocrat.
Right.
It's superpower. What I'm interested more to know, you know, is you know that Qatar has been part of the mm-hmm. negotiation and the Emirates, because they also cannot afford mm-hmm. To have the war go on forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the hotel in Dubai were empty. Mm-hmm. They were bombed by the Iranian. So they played a big part in trying to make that deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear that Qatar is going to invest $1 trillion in the U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like to know in what exactly. What forms. I'd like to know if Iran, because China and Russia have also been involved in talking to the president about what's going on for that deal. Is Iran going to keep selling oil to China? Of course. Mm-hmm. But at what price?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they're going to pay the hugely discounted price anymore, mm-hmm. right? Are they going to pay in U.S. dollar
right.
And be part of the world economy, mm-hmm. which is what...
It's what oil will sell that, you know, in the world economy.
Exactly.
In the U.S. dollar.
Which is... So I think that overall, when you step back, okay, we are better off today than we were 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Iranian, we're giving them a shot to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like we did in Venezuela.
Yeah.
We took off, what's her name? Maduro. Now we have, what's her name? Delcy Rodriguez. And she's behaving. And she'll be, we'll take her out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because we're back under the superpower. You have China, you have the US, and you have to some extent Russia.
Mm-hmm.
US military presence is over there. Okay? Do I trust the Iranian? Of course not. Mm-hmm. But Trump never say that he's going to go and kill every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a memorandum of understanding. It's up to the Iranian to behave. So I think that everyone has to stop trying to analyze a deal which is a 1.5 page. Do you people believe that a 1.5 page or 2 page document is going to bring entire peace to the Middle East on a conflict that lasts for hundreds of years? Mm-hmm. Of course not. But it's giving a chance. What I do believe is that the Arab country and the Chinese are going to try to tell Iran, listen.
Cool it, you know, where they try to do some shit again.
Cool it and behave, right? So I also encourage our friends in Israel to take it easy, relax, okay? Well, nobody support more the state of Israel than I do, okay? But let's not forget that President Trump is the one that pushed the button on attacking that regime. And the Israeli will defend themselves if they attack. Okay? They have a very powerful army, and Mossad is one of the best secret services in the world. So they've proved that during that war. So let's relax. Let's not forget who our friends are. And let's not forget who our enemies are here at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Mandani, the Candace Owen, Tucker Carlson. You know, let's cool off. And that's what we have. We have a pause and an invitation for the Iranian, that's my belief, to behave. If they don't, he just said it. It'll bomb the shit out of you again.
But just think about, you know, how different it was 100 days ago when we were talking about this, and the Ayatollah would, you know, respond, oh, if you do this, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the way he talks about them and to them, like a child, behave. And you guys are all familiar with that part of the world.
Yeah.
How those men act, how that society is structured. He's like, I'll drop a bomb on your head unless you behave.
Yeah.
That's a very...
How respect
how, yeah. That's how different is that dynamic in just 3 months? It's crazy.
Yeah, there's definitely no confusion on Trump's foreign policy when it comes to Iran. If they misbehave again, they're going to start putting warheads through foreheads, you know, like they were before.
Listen, being in D.C. and meeting the Trump team in those fabulous interviews, again... You got to watch those interviews of Dean Cain, of Sebastian Gorka, of Todd Blanche, of
Lee Zeldin was a good one, too.
Lee Zeldin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Another phenomenal patriotic.
Phenomenal.
Genius, brilliant American.
And you understand the big picture. You understand the incredible team that Trump has put around him and how dedicated they are to protect this country. Mm-hmm. So let's relax, okay? None of you are experts. So just let it play, relax. Everybody suddenly needs an opinion in this and that and that. Mm-hmm. Calm down. Calm down.
I would also add, Philippe, no matter what side of the political aisle you are on, once the attack on Iran did start, there is no doubt in anyone's mind that the U.S. military is no longer run by men in dresses, unlike the previous administration had. So, talk about the ultimate foreign policy change, and you know, or even like domestic policy from a national defense standpoint. The U.S. military is no longer run by men in dresses, unlike the previous sleepy Joe Biden, Beijing Biden's administration.
I think you should look at Dean went to the Pentagon to honor the man, and he met with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. It was just absolutely thrilling. It's just, you know, this country and this nation is the biggest military power in the world. And because we're facing enemies. And President Trump knows what he's doing. It's a chessboard. It's a chessboard. We talked about it in our last episode with China. China doesn't want to go to war with the U.S.
No.
You know, but you know, this is what it is. So, few more words on the Iranian war. Iranian war. No.
So I got a few closing comments before we move
please,
on. It's
please.
Okay. Once again, the war with Iran did not just prove the might of the U.S. military. It also showed the dedication of service and sacrifice. When we, for instance, we had the downed pilot. We had one of the fighter jets shot down. The pilot was missing. That just goes to show you, whether you're a U.S. citizen, a service member, anywhere in the world, the U.S. military and U.S. government, at least under this administration, will stop at nothing to make sure you are brought home safely. They will use every resource and every power, every advantage we have to make sure our people come home within every aspect of our ability to do so. And it showed it. It showed it there, like when the pilot was missing, and then when the might of the U.S. military is unleashed, like I said, when the fellas have the men and women of a military have the approvals, authorities, and the assets to do the job, there is absolutely nothing, no military objective that will not be achieved when we really have the reins released under a strong administration like the Trump administration, and they are allowed to go to work to do their job like they're supposed to do.
And look, you also have to learn from history. Okay, we are going with Dean, we're going to Israel, we're going to Dubai, we're going to go to Morocco because we're making a documentary about the Abraham Accord. Because at the end of the day, okay, this thing is not going to be resolved by killing everyone. That's not going to happen. Okay, we're not going to kill every single terrorist. It's just impossible. So at the end of the day, peace has to come into play. And I think that the most consequential things that President Trump has done is the Abraham Accord. So we're going to make a documentary. We have some incredible interviews set up. We're going to go there. We're going to go to D.C. first to interview some people, which I'm not going to say who, but I'm sure you can guess who.
Little teaser thrown out there for the crowd.
I think you can guess who we're going to interview over there in Israel. I think that let's see if the Iranians are capable to understand that they're not dealing with Obama. Iranian regime, you have an opportunity to be normal. I don't think that you can, right? But if you don't behave, you hurt the man. He's going to bomb the shit out of you. So, you know, I do believe that those Arab countries, Israel is very upset right now, right? And it's true that the president has, the way he talks sometimes, but that's the way he is.
He's a brash New York businessman.
That's it.
I mean, like, you know, what do you think when you think about his, where he came from, his upbringing?
All I'm looking at me is, let's go back 100 days ago, what he has done. No other president has done it.
Yeah. Well, Philippe, something else to add to.
And we cannot, history is not just on one day. It's just on big act, right? So big act is Trump has pushed the button and the U.S. military has severely diminished the Iranian to nothing. It's, it's a huge military defeat.
Right.
That's what President Trump has done. Okay. In the last couple of days, he has some words that are unfortunate. That's the way he is. Okay? We cannot, I mean, what do you expect? Him to be the perfect man? No. You know, that's the way he is. Okay? And today, he made us happy because he said, hey, it's a memorandum of understanding.
Right.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, I'm going to bomb the shit out of you. And that's what it means. But when he say that, It's because he's done it.
Yeah, and he means it.
So now the world of the United States is by strength. Mm-hmm. No, I believe, you know, remember, Yitzhak Rabin was one of the greatest general of the Israel and prime minister. At some point, he had to shake the hand of Yasser Arafat at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to go to a peace process. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take years. And I think that the canvas of the Abraham Accord is important. And that's why Dean is going to make a documentary about that with Proud American Studio. And that's why we're going to the Middle East to shoot it.
I think the current MOU we're having set up with Iran really ties into the overall, you know, foreign policy under the Trump administration when it comes to even like with the Abraham Accords. Trump is trying to give peace a chance. He tried to do it up until the time he like gave the orders to, you know, eliminate and decimate Iran, Iran's military to help make sure like we had, you know, peace on the world stage and Iran did not receive a nuclear weapon. Like you said earlier, Philippe, the previous how many administrations always said, hey, red line in the sand is Iran cannot have a nuke. But Trump was the only one that had the political fortitude to actually do something about it. So I think Trump is trying to give peace a chance through the MOU, just like with the Abraham Accord.
Absolutely. And also, hopefully, the Iranian people will rise.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, of course, we're going to say they don't have weapon. But, you know, if 20 million people just walk in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that famous image of that Chinese guy on Tiananmen Square in front of the how do you call that?
The tank.
Mm-hmm. Right? But what would happen if 20 million Iranian would just walk into the street?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the Iranian regime is going to kill 20 million people?
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a world of image. We live in a world of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Propaganda that, you know, I'm not a big fan of Qatar. Mm-hmm. Right? But it is what it is.
I mean, look at how the Taliban took back over control from the Afghan defense forces. They literally went door to door with members of the security forces. They said, hey, either you switch sides back with us or we're going to kill you. Or they just would just kill them flat out.
Which, by the way, I've learned something about that. And I want to, you know, I checked online and it looks like it's legit. But I didn't have, before the show, I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask Dino to check on that. Mm-hmm. Are we still giving $40 million a week to the Taliban?
I don't know.
I mean, Dino, when you're watching that, okay?
Call us.
Philippe has a tasking for you.
Call us.
Yeah, basically.
Call it right now.
Call us, right? And apparently, the president is trying to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
$40 million a week is paid to the Taliban. I don't know if it's true, but Dino, please check it out. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Lee, final word on the Iran.
Well, I mean, tying what you just said together, I think we have to stop thinking of the Middle East the way we thought about the Cold War. Because when the Cold War, you know, ended, all those little countries, they overthrew their dictators. They did it themselves. And we've had since 9/11 this idea that, oh, we'll just get rid of Saddam. We'll just kick out the Taliban. The people will fix it. And we're seeing over and over in the Middle East that that's not how Muslim Islamic countries work.
No.
So we have to rethink our strategy overall because it's not the same as, like, you know, kicking out Ceausescu or, you know, whoever in Eastern Europe.
And
it's very different. We killed the Ayatollah.
And they have powerful, powerful propaganda.
Yeah.
Right here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the name of the guy, the mayor of
Mamdani?
Mamdani.
The commie Mamdani. We could do a whole segment just on him.
No, I listen. I think that, you know, I wanted to talk about Mamdani, but, you know, not today. You know, it's going to make me agitated. I don't want to get upset today. I'm trying to take the news of what's happening right now and step back and tell everybody to calm down. Where were we 100 days ago? Where are we today? We are in a much better situation. And Israel is also in a much better situation because Iran was very powerful 100 days ago. And they're today, they're basically a country where the president of the United States on the airport says, behave. Otherwise, I'm going to back and bomb the shit out of you. So Trump and his team, Rubio, I mean, we met those guys. I mean, those guys are like super smart. Mm. They are 5 steps ahead. We don't have all the elements that they have. We don't know what kind of deal is done with China. You know, if Iran is not selling the oil to China anymore on a discounted price, which I'm sure that's going to be the case now, okay, that's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a, it's a big, big world, right? And the president is dealing with things that we don't have all the information.
100%.
So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk. We're going to have a special guest. We're going to have the president of Proud American Studio, Mr. Michael Kosolniak. And welcome back on The Heavy. You like the title?
Phenomenal title.
What?
It's so fitting, you know? It's just heavy opinions, you know, very strong, direct opinions, what we're going for here,
okay,
Philippe.
But you, okay, so for you, The Heavy is about strong opinion.
100%.
It has no relationship with my weight.
Right? No, not at all.
Okay, good. I wanted to
clear that up.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
What the fuck are you laughing at?
I don't know.
I mean, you did make a comment about how Mike looked on camera a little bit, so maybe he could be a, you know, a guest appearance, you know, next time on The Heavy too if Dell's not available.
Anyway, now that we cleared it out that The Heavy
I'm sorry, brother.
Now that we cleared out that The Heavy is about strong opinion and not about my weight, I'm very pleased to have with us today our president, the president of Proud American Studio, Michael Kosolniak. Michael is a former Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent, which I had the pleasure to meet 3 years ago. Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on The Heavy.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Philippe. Thanks for having me. I love the show and I love the name. It's very fitting. For multiple reasons.
It's very fitting.
Yeah.
Is that what you...
No pun intended. Fitting, yeah.
Nope. Okay, so, Mike, you went viral. You had a clip of the Hollywood investigation that went over 2 million views on X.
Yeah, my kids had to be the ones to tell me about it, but yeah. Apparently it did go viral, and it's exciting. It's exciting. I mean, I think the content and what we're talking about here is really important to the American public. So I'm really excited to discuss, you know, where we're at in the investigation and a little bit more about what we're doing in our special investigations unit here at Proud American Studios.
So tell us a little bit about, I know that Proud American Studio is not going to release that investigation now.
Yeah.
And you're going to probably tell us why. But tell us a little bit about the background of how this came along.
Sure, absolutely. So, I mean, just to back up even one step further, as you know, we put together a special investigations unit here at Proud American Studios, comprised of retired federal agents, intelligence officers who have really spent their lives defending this country, fighting against, you know, terrorist groups, narcotics traffickers, money launderers, human traffickers, and the like. And they're the best at what they do. We handpicked investigators from DEA, FBI, HSI, and this unit we put together, they're awesome, and they're excited to work. So one of our first investigations that we're jumping into in that viral clip that you were referring to is an investigation into Hollywood and the rampant fraud in Hollywood. And it's going very well. We had an informant, a whistleblower, basically, who had spent his career in Hollywood, you know, seeing all this fraud taking place around him, and just he just had enough. And he came to us and said, you know, I'd like to help you guys out. And he brought forward all the information. He brought forward the goods. Several states around the United States, Puerto Rico and other states where Hollywood has gone into these areas, you know, filmed and built movies and basically defrauded the American taxpayers.
But from what you told me off camera, is that you were quite concerned because that whistleblower asked you to organize a meeting to become an official whistleblower with the Justice Department and the FBI.
Yeah, so the way it works, you know, and obviously I'm outside the federal government now, but the way it works is they come forward, provide the information, and then we, you know, all of our investigators have contacts in, you know, major parts in the U.S. government, the prior agencies that we all worked for within the FBI and HSI and DEA. We bring these investigations forward to those agencies, and they move forward with the criminal side of things. We are obviously working on our side, exploiting and exposing the fraud and the other criminal acts that have taken place and helping out.
So obviously, I was with you in one of the trip in Hollywood because the whistleblower is. I mean, you know, I think it's very courageous for him that he stepped forward and provided a mass of information and documents.
Yeah, anytime, you know, in my career, informants come forward, they're American patriots. They're fighting on the front lines just like we are. And this whistleblower is very courageous to do so. He's putting his own safety at risk. We are taking all the steps necessary with us and also law enforcement here in the United States to make sure that he's protected and defended and make sure he's safe at all times.
Okay, so I'm going to pretend that I don't know anything about that fraud, because when you're in Hollywood, this is common knowledge, yeah. that fraud, right? And I think that one of the surprise when you went to Hollywood and I introduced you to one of the head of the studio is that how easily they say, yeah, oh yeah, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I think it's just become so mainstream for them every day. These big Hollywood companies are out there. They're not scared. They're pretty open with what they've done. And the fraud that we've uncovered is tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer fraud. So
can you give the audience a little bit, or you don't want to?
The basics, you know, a movie company will come into a particular state and they're using, you know, attorneys. Everybody's in on it, Philippe. Everybody's in on it, guys. The attorneys, the bankers, the bridge loaners, the movie studios themselves, they're all aware. They're basically inflating prices on their production costs and whatnot and at the taxpayer dollars. And we all know that, you know, that movies receive tax incentives to come into particular states, right? So I don't want to go too far down the road, but, you know, these are my dollars, your dollars, and every other American taxpayer's dollars that these Hollywood companies are basically stealing from them.
Lee, I know you're familiar with that fraud. When you see the Hollywood media, the Hollywood movie stars lecturing all of America, okay, how to behave.
Yeah.
And when you see the investigation that Michael is leading, what does it inspire you?
Well, I mean, it's pretty disgusting if you think about it. It's like, especially in states like, you know, the southern states like Louisiana, Georgia, and Puerto Rico especially, too. These are not rich areas. You know, I'm sure California runs their program squeaky clean, but, yeah. You know, California at least has more money than Louisiana does. So the fact that these huge productions come down there and basically loot the state of taxpayer money to pay actors who then turn around and spit on those people and talk down to them, it's pretty ridiculous.
You know, I don't want to talk about, because I know that Mike is the type of investigator that likes to keep things too close to his chest.
That's right.
But I want to tell you something funny. I introduced him to a head of a studio in Hollywood, and, you know, I'm not going to say woo, but that was part of his investigation. And you know, after they spoke, the head of the studio came to see me and say, get him away from Hollywood. We don't want him here.
Yeah, they're definitely afraid of us. You know, everybody we've run into in Hollywood is definitely fearful of this investigation. You know, just to the American public, we're going to expose it all. So that we should be exciting. There's a lot more to come. I am holding things close to my chest. So as we proceed in this investigation, obviously ensuring the safety of the whistleblower, but there's going to be a lot more to come, and you're going to be really surprised at what we find.
And Mike, when can the audience of Proud American Studio expect to see that investigation?
In the coming months. You know, it takes time. These investigations, we want to make sure that they're done correctly. You know, the FBI will be working hard on the criminal side of this and looking into things. So we're going to coordinate with them. But, you know, I would say in the next few months, you're going to see exactly what's happened here. And this goes back, you know, a decade or more, you know, this fraud. So it's, you know, Nick Shirley's out there doing it. He's getting it done. We're doing it here as well. And
although you saw that in California, they passed the
Nick Shirley Act.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, we're well aware of that because, you know, that's inhibiting our investigation, right? We try to go out there and conduct our investigation. And laws like that were set up to prevent teams like my team from getting the truth and getting the information.
Well, I guess you're going to have to shoot it in Washington, D.C.
Oh, we'll shoot it wherever Yeah. We need to, but we're going to get
we'll
it done.
We'll talk to them at their trial.
We won't stop.
Yeah. We'll talk to them when they're on the witness stand.
So, Mike, while we have you here, let's go back. So, can't wait to see your investigation on Proud American Studio. While we have you here, I'd like to have your take on the new Iran situation.
Well, I mean, we were on the homeland yesterday. We talked a little bit about that. But, you know, I feel a lot of the same ways Trey does. I think that, you know, we cut off the head of the snake, but there's still the whole body of the snake. I think we could have done more in the time that we had to potentially, you know, take down more of the regime. So, I, you know, working in my job with HSI for, you know, 20 years, I did a lot of Iranian sanctions types of cases. So I've seen behind the scenes what the procurement networks are using and the transshipment networks and how Iran is, you know, trying to obtain a nuclear weapon. And, you know, they're very good at it. They're very good, and they've become better over the last 5 years. So I really don't think this is going to stop them. I think it's going to be a sidestep for them. But they're very quickly, very quick and very resourceful at building their networks back up and going right back to work. So,
Mike, you worked on a case as a special agent. We discussed about that.
Yeah.
That involved Iranian obtaining equipment here.
Sure.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah, I mean, there are sanctions cases, right? It's an OFAC. It was an IEPA case. People out there that know what that is will understand. But basically, we have sanctions against Iran, International Economic Powers Act. I don't know exactly what the acronym is right now. It's been a bit. But basically, we're trying to prevent our military and dual-use technologies from traveling into Iran. So I worked a case. It's closed out now, but it was a gas turbine case that a company in the United States was transshipping goods into Germany through Dubai and into Iran. And in these gas turbines were ending up in the Iranian IRGC and the nuclear programs. So we worked with, you know, various agencies, and we were able to arrest the individuals in Germany. We arrested an individual in Dubai that was the main, you know, procurement officer, procurement agent. She was Iranian, and we were able to take down this network. But these cases are going on, but worked every day by the hard work of men and women from HSI, from Bureau of Industry and Security Commerce, and the FBI. They're out there doing it. So
Mike, we've launched Proud American Studio a few months ago. We have already 22 million views, which is a huge success.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't expect that.
Right.
We have the almost every law enforcement represented. We have former SEAL Team 6, your former HSI, we have former FBI, we have former DEA, we have two former CIA. How do you leave this whole new adventure?
I mean, listen, I had the great honor of serving my country and my career. I was a state trooper before I became a federal agent, and all the men and women out there in law enforcement are serving their country. I had the great honor of doing that. And when I retired, I thought of a way, and I got with you, Philippe, as well, and we thought of a way that we could honor and continue to serve this country and bring the real American values to the people the ways that they want to hear it. And you mentioned earlier in the show, the guys that are sitting at this table and the guys that are on our team are all guys, and men and women, who have done it. They've been there for 20 years. They've been in the trenches. They've been in, you know, foreign operating, you know, countries and where their lives were at risk, or here domestically on tactical teams or working every day as an agent. So we're bringing you the information from, you know, the guys, the men and women who have been there and done it.
Yeah. And what's incredible also is the incredible network that you guys have had.
Mm-hmm.
I see that because we're preparing a couple of unscripted show to produce for Proud American Studio. One in Louisiana, in Texas,
yep.
And one in Montana with Tim Clemente, who's a former FBI.
Yeah.
And it's just that you guys have reach and connection everywhere.
Yeah,
the network of intelligence is just outstanding, outstanding.
It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. You know, I can travel anywhere and meet up with other law enforcement officers from other agencies. It's just a mutual respect. You know, we're all out there. When everybody else is home at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, people like Trey and the other members of our team have been out there risking their lives on the streets defending America. So,
and I think that's why we are so lucky to have all those top members of the Trump administration, like Tom Homan, and Gorka and all those guys, to come on Proud American Studio, because they feel safe. They know that we're not here to trick them. We're here to give them the ability to explain properly and quietly, as opposed to the nutcase.
We won't say any names, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Say some names.
Nick Fuentes.
No, but I'm talking about. Did you see that press? The woman that was interviewing Prince. I forgot her name. What's the name of that reporter?
I don't know the.
He was
the
right.
Press.
Good night. Bye, darling. Yeah. We're done. I mean,
but I came in the rain, Mr. President.
I came in the rain. Well,
Kristen Welker.
Yeah.
Kristen Welker. Yep. But did you see the
vile. Again, it's just the vile left, the liberal legacy media.
They're not interested. Mm-hmm. There was something very interesting when you see the interview of Liz Elden, right? When he was in Congress and explaining everything, the people, the Democrats, asking the question, he was explaining to us that they're not interested in the response. They're just interested to come, make a little attack, and leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't even know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait to see your investigation.
Can't wait to deliver it to the people of America. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Good. Let's talk about one thing before we take a break. Proud American Studio is going to be on the Great American State Fair for the 250th anniversary of America. Dean is going to be on the 27th on the main stage to conduct a big interview. So we're very excited to be part of the whole celebration of celebrating America 250th anniversary. What does it mean for you?
Oh, I mean, just looking, I just talk about even like what the flag means to me, and just the anniversary of 250 years of our country being born. And when I look at the flag, personally, Philippe, what I see, just from my own personal experiences, and to know the effort I put into, you know, protecting and defending this country, and I'm really in shock and awe and just humbled by the whole experience, seeing all the other men and women of this country helping defend the flag, whether it's, you know, overseas in the military or from our intelligence service, or even on the home front, such as Mike has done, for protecting this and really ensuring this is the greatest nation this world has ever seen, and we will keep it that way. That really what it means to me is it's just very humbling and very awe-inspiring.
Lee?
I'm such a history buff that it's amazing we lasted this long, considering how stupid some people are. But it's an amazing accomplishment. And when you stop and think about what they did 250 years ago, the defiance of the world's largest empire at the time, and perhaps in the world history at that time, it's an amazing story. And I can't believe people don't appreciate it, and they don't know enough about it to really appreciate it, I think.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm so excited. 250 years. I'm excited to go potentially down to D.C., bring our team down there. Everybody is, you know, elated. The guest that we're going to have on is going to be some powerful guest.
Yeah, and Dean is super excited
Dean
about
is
it.
Really excited about
I
it.
Mean, this guy is just an incredible patriot.
Yeah, and what greater place to spend, you know, the 250th anniversary of this country than Washington, D.C.? It's going to be absolutely amazing.
All right, we'll be right back, and we're going to start the new section. Who do I hate really this week? And we are right back for the new section. Who can I not stand this week, or who do I hate this week? And we're going to start with Trey.
Again, so many to choose from, but I would say, honestly, Jasmine Crockett. I mean, being from Dallas with the Carmelo and Anthony, you know, murder trial that happened this week, and the interview, or multiple interviews she gave, it's just embarrassing that she is, you know, a member of Congress, let alone the member of Congress that represents the district that my wife and I live in Dallas. Again, there's no winners. I hate the entire situation, how it unfolded. You know, there's, again, 17-year-old boy, you know, young man, brings a knife to a track meet, you know, is in a tent from an opposing team, was told to leave by other team members and adults that were there multiple times, and he was, you know, felt like he was justified or tried to use as his defense when he was, you know, pushed, you know, told to leave. He pulled out a knife and stabbed somebody. Again, it's one thing, Philippe, to shoot somebody from a distance. It's a whole other intimate brutality to actually pull out a gun. Pull out a knife and actually stab somebody directly in their heart as well, too. Some people may say the punishment did not fit the crime. I mean, technically under Texas standards, you know, that's a little bit different how they have their felony. You know, they have like capital felony, then first, second, third degree felony, then state jail felony. He was tried and convicted with a first degree felony, which carries a sentence of 5 to 99 years. He ended up getting 39. It could be life depending on the situation as far as what the jury decided. So I would say, if anything, he might a little bit more on the lenient side of sentencing. But at the same time, again, there's no real winners in that entire thing.
So your issue with her is really that
she's a race baiter. She made it immediately about race. Yeah. Again, it had nothing to do with that. Even if you had members of the prosecution, like witness list, that were, you know, black African Americans testifying against Carmelo Anthony. Like, they always, again, the typical race baiters in this country. That's what they want to make it all about, race.
Yeah, well, that's Obama. Like, they'll always say that Obama, that's Obama's legacy to bring back the race issue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, Jasmine Crockett brought race into the made it an issue when she lost the primary for the Texas Senate seat to the Tallarico, I think, whatever that nut job's name is. So wants to act like he's a Texan now, even though he's you know, vegan and all these other liberal policies. Shows him like I'm sure you guys have seen some of the photos and videos of him like trying to eat a Texas barbecue and things like that. And he's like this, like you could just tell it his facial expression. He's just like just squinting and the entire time he's trying to act like he's a real Texan now. It's a complete joke. So Jasmine Crockett was a joke or is a joke still. Hopefully I wish she would just kind of wander off and never be heard from again. But unfortunately, she's one of the loudmouth, fundraising Democrats out there. So she's not going anywhere, unfortunately, at least in the political scene.
Well, Jasmine Crockett, you are the winner for Trey Lindsay this week. He can't stand you. Lee, who's your winner?
Jennifer Newsom, the wife of Governor Gavin Newsom, who literally steals money from charities like sick children, fire victims. She steals the money. And then on top of that, her husband has the balls to claim it's all Trump trying to, go after him. So she gets out there and steals money from poor people, charity money, and they turn it into an attack against Trump. Disgusting, deplorable, deport the Newsoms out of here, both of them. Can't stand them.
Well, so Jennifer,
just awful.
Jennifer Newsom, you're the winner for Lee Scott. Me, I love everybody. I swear, I love everybody. except Mandani and Ilhan Omar.
Oh.
I think that. One of the big gifts that we could have for this 250th anniversary is to deport her ass out of America.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me on that?
I vote. Yeah.
Okay, we voted.
Unanimous.
So, guys, I think that was fun.
Absolutely.
Trey, it was good to have you.
No, appreciate you having me on.
It was good that you came to tell us about your expertise on the military side of the Iranian situation. Mm-hmm. If we can call it a situation. And we are seeing you very soon for the next episode of The Heavy. And more important, have a great, happy 4th of July. Celebrate this country. We are so lucky.
What a time to be alive.
I always talk about Dean because he's so in love with this nation.
Mm-hmm.
So celebrate this country. You're very lucky. Believe me, nobody wants to immigrate to Iran or to China.
Somalia.
Yeah, go to Somalia. Go to immigrate in Somalia. I want to see that. Now, this is the greatest country in the world. This is why we are here. Okay? So you want to wish a happy 4th of July to everybody?
Yeah, absolutely, folks. Yeah, just say again, enjoy every moment of it. Greatest time to be alive. 250th anniversary of our great nation.
Lee.
As an American, you've won the lottery of life. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
As an American, you won the lottery of life. Beautiful.
That's a good one.
Thank you, and we'll see you soon for a next episode of The Heavy on ProudAmericanStudio.com.